The Biden administration is pushing emergency rooms across the country to perform emergency abortions in spite of different state laws that might prohibit those abortions. The Republican Party is set to change the party platform next week. Why is that important? What's in the platform and what are they changing it? We'll make sure you know about it. France, snap elections were ordered by Emmanuel Macron. It's kind of not going the way he thought it would. We'll look at Marie Le Pen's rise in France, and Louisiana has mandated the Ten Commandments in public classrooms. Oklahoma has mandated that you teach Bible lessons in public schools. We will talk about all of that on a very loaded How Might a Family Matters show right now. Welcome into the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina. It's the Palmetto Family Matters Show. Justin Hall, Mitch Prosser, that's Dr. Steve Pettit. And you know what? I'm going to call this segment, Where in the World is Dr. Pettit? So last week we were not in Brevard. More specifically, we were not in Brevard. Today we are a little bit further west and
a lot further north.
And a lot further north and in a lot cooler location.
A lot further north, I'm about 80 miles north of Green Bay, Wisconsin, at Northland Camp and Conference Center, where I used to be the director of the camp. And today is a very, very warm 77. And yesterday it was in the middle to lower 60s, a little rainy. So it's really tough up here.
Yeah, sounds hard.
All the South Carolinians listen to this. If you're listening in another state, it's like that there. We don't like you either. But for all the South Carolinians right now,
I have to remind myself of how beautiful Wisconsin is.
It's unbelievably
very,
gorgeous.
Very beautiful state.
Yes, sir.
And the humidity is much, much lower than South Carolina.
We literally prayed for rain at church last week. So glad to know you're enjoying 60s and rain.
But my heart is in the Palmetto.
That's right.
There you go. All right. A lot to get to. We're going to go rapid fire. We don't want to keep you long because it is your 4th of July weekend. You're probably already getting started on that. So
if you're listening to this while you're grilling.
Or on the lake, on the boat maybe, or perhaps you're on the river. Maybe these three voices are sitting with you in your tube or in your canoe.
Probably not.
Weird, but go with it. The abortion fight in the United States continues. This is a pivot issue for the Democratic Party as we head into the election season. We're already there. We're midway through it. The Biden administration has ordered emergency rooms across the country to ensure that they are providing, quote, emergency abortions. The pregnant woman or her family should have to even to begin to worry that she should be denied the treatment she needs to stabilize her medical condition in the emergency room. Basically, this is a continuation, guys, of the administration's efforts to reframe what abortion is. Abortion, by definition, is the termination of a known pregnancy.
That's the taking of a human life.
An unwanted pregnancy. It is the taking of a human life. And so, Dr. Pettit, as we look at stories like this, we're seeing and I've said this for years, when you change words and when you change what words mean in the day-to-day colloquialism, you confuse people. And this is just another example of abortion is just another thing that happens in the emergency room. It's like when you go in, when you break your arm and you got to get it set, it's the same thing. And what this is going to do is it's going to create confusion. And it's going to create misunderstandings across the country.
Well, it is. You're exactly right. It's a redefining of what we already know what an abortion is. It's the taking of a life of a child in the womb. And that is murder. And so now we're legalizing that within the hospital system. So this is problematic. This is the way of working around the change that took place when Roe v. Wade was overturned, and I think it's despicable.
Absolutely, couldn't agree with you more. You know, there's this notion right now that only abortion can be considered healthcare, and everything else leaves a woman unsafe, and that is to deny the existence, the reality that so many women who either ingest these pills, because it's a battery of pills, mm-hmm. or who have an elective surgical procedure to abort a child, to kill a child, their life is at serious risk in either of those situations. And so, there's this false dichotomy of choice here that it's either completely safe if you have an abortion, or you are a danger. You're an absolute danger of dying if you continue on with a pregnancy and have a baby. And yes, there are people who've had abortions who are completely safe, except for the baby. Mm-hmm. There are people who've had an abortion who have been harmed, irreparably, not just physically, emotionally, psychologically. There are people who have had a baby and they have been harmed. Mm-hmm. And there have been a lot of people who've had a baby. Let me say it this way. There are a lot of women who have had a baby and been perfectly fine. So the false dichotomy of choice here is a non sequitur. It's absolutely not appropriate. You know, some of these pro-life laws, oh my goodness, these draconian laws, what they really want you to mean is anti-abortion laws, are harming women and their ability to choose safe, effective means for healthcare. And nothing could be further from the truth.
Exactly. That ultimately, this appears to be the only, let me be frank with you, this appears to be the only issue that the current administration has traction on when it comes to the election. And they're going to lean in further. We're going to continue to see a leaning into this issue, especially given, we talked about this on last week's show. If you missed it, make sure to go back on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get those, or Facebook and YouTube, and just watch last week's show. The president's in trouble within his own party. There are calls within his own party to drop out of the race. Kamala Harris is now the odds-on favorite to be, take that with a grain of salt, to be the nominee in the Democratic Party. They're relying on the idea that Joe Biden is the man standing in the gap to protect your ability to end your own pregnancy, and it's absurd.
But this is the abortion issue is, and we're a nonpartisan organization. We continue to maintain that.
Well, there's problems in the other one, too.
It's where I'm going. It's not just a Democratic issue.
Yep.
It's a Republican issue. And for those of you out there who are, you say, I'm a Republican because of the party platform, pay very close attention to what you're about to hear.
So, as we know, and Dr. Pettit knows this as well, the Republican convention, the GOP convention, is coming up in 2 weeks
in Wisconsin.
Yes, in Milwaukee. In fact, they're going to Milwaukee, even though President Trump doesn't like Milwaukee. Interesting. So they're going, but before that, there's a meeting to agree on the platform. Now, I've heard a lot about the Republican platform in my few years being here because it's been mentioned on the floor of the Senate quite often. The idea behind the mentioning was that being pro-life is not in the party platform. That's simply not true. Key notes in the Republican Party platform for conservatives, and specifically for Christian conservatives, because I believe that as Christians, as we operate in this, and you guys might agree, or we can have a nice little conversation, Christians are going to really have a hard time finding a political home, if you will, when it comes to what party to align with, because while marriage and pro-life are in the platform right now, the Republican Party is going to change that. They're trying to change that to omit the idea of God's design for marriage between one man and one woman, and also God's design that, you know, babies actually deserve the right to live. Interesting how that works. So the Republican Party is talking about changing this. First of all, I want to go to Mitch on this. The quote unquote political ramifications of this are what?
We're rudderless when it comes to conservative ideology. And for those of you out there who say we need to destroy the two-party system, we need to throw a hand grenade into that room and just let it all fall apart. The political reality is that we are going to continue, and throughout our entire history, when we weren't, as Americans, when we were in an absolute chaos, I think early 1800s, when we had 3- and 4-party system, outside of those times in absolute chaos, we've been a 2-party system nation, and every presidential election has been decided between 2 different people outside of times of absolute chaos. So right now, the reality of this moment is that if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you're not a Christian and you believe that life begins at conception and that marriage is between one man and one woman for one lifetime, then you're in trouble. Right now, it appears as if the Republican Party platform is on its way to being diluted, watered down, changed. And Dr. Pettit, we know that when these systems, and it's just a piece of paper, a platform is just a piece of paper. No. It's far more than that. We've seen, and I don't want to compare any party to a church, but we've seen when churches do this, we've seen when these institutional changes occur. I don't know if it's symptomatic or if it is symbolic. In other words, I don't know if it is part of the problem or if it is the problem. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it comes down to a couple of key things. Number one is, you know, what is the motive behind it? What is the motive behind it for obviously political gain or gaining votes? Is it for a shift in worldview philosophy? This is a worldview philosophy. And I think it is important for Christian people to understand that our loyalty is first and foremost and without hesitation to the authoritative scriptures that God has given to us. And so we stand on that. And to stand for life is the biblical, it's what's in the scriptures. So I think right now we are having a shift, a worldview shift potentially, and we're not really quite sure where this is going to land down. Right. And I'm in agreement with you, Mitch, on the necessity of the two-party system, but we are facing problems. And we're not going to bow the knee, and we're not going to bend the knee. The Family Policy Alliance is not going to do that. We're not going to change, and we're going to fight for that which is right. And we are going to call out what is wrong, even if it causes tensions and problems.
The Platform Integrity Project,
yes,
is the way about doing that.
Yes. You mentioned something there, and I think it's very well woven together. When worldview and a person's worldview or a particular worldview of those that are other matters so little that you discard it for political gain, as the leader of any party in any country on the face of this planet, that's a problem. For people's voices not to be heard, mm-hmm. and for that not to be, and some people say, well, that isn't the historical posture of that political party. Well, it doesn't matter. Maybe they finally got it right.
Correct.
And now to abandon that is to, pardon the expression, throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
This is not good. And for those of you in South Carolina thinking, oh, whew, we are safe from that nonsense.
No, you're not.
You're not.
There are multiple South Carolina delegates who have been removed, seemingly, in an effort to shore up this change. We'll be talking to Chad Connolly, the leader of Faith Wins, who at one time was a delegate, and we'll be talking to him about what that means and what the push is. We'll be doing that with him in a couple of days.
And for those of you out there who are saying, okay, now you've got me a little alarmed, I need to do something. You're right, you do. You need to go to platformintegrityproject.com. That's mm-hmm. platformintegrityproject.com. Sign up. Let your voice be heard. They're going to take that information and give it to those state delegates ahead of next week. Mm-hmm. This happens next week, ladies and gentlemen.
8th and 9th.
A few days from now. And your voice, if you believe that a baby should be safe in their mommy's tummy, if you believe that life is between, or life, marriage, yes, that too, amen and amen, is between one man and one woman for a lifetime, then you need to let your voice be heard. PlatformIntegrityProject.com.
Let's move quickly now because we got a lot to get to and want you to enjoy your 4th of July holiday. France, let's go across the pond. Let's go to France.
Do we have to?
Says a lot of people when they say, let's go to France. Emmanuel Macron, the leader of France, called for a snap election recently. Feeling the heat, felt like he needed to do it.
Is that like a vote of confidence?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Basically. Not a lot of confidence in Emmanuel Macron's leadership. In fact, recent numbers show that after the first half of the snap election, New York Times, the National Rally, which is Marine Le Pen's group, and its allies, won about 33% of the vote, while Macron's Renaissance Party and its allies took 20%, and the New Popular Front won about 28% of the vote. The key thing here in this New York Times article, and they're pulling from French sources, is that the far right has now gained a lot of traction in France. My argument is that I don't think you can really consider it fringe if they're winning over a third of the vote. That's a third of the country that feels that way, and it's 14% more than the party in charge. Now, I will admit, I am not well-versed in French politique day-to-day. That might shock you, right? But what we're seeing, guys, is typically what happens in Europe sort of gives us a snapshot of what is changing across the world politic. In particular, in 2016, we saw Brexit, and we saw the election of Donald Trump, which, again, I believe those two go hand-in-hand in terms of a move toward populism and in a pendulum swing back toward conservatism. Based on what we just talked about with the changing Republican Party platform and what we talked about before that with the current Biden administration push, Dr. Pettit, how can Christians look at this, and we can't get bogged down in the far right and anti-immigrant and all these other things that these words, these buzzwords that are thrown out at us when we read these news headlines and the stories themselves. As Christians approach this look, seeing, okay, there's some upheaval in France. There's a movement in France to sort of reclaim French identity. And I, by the way, I don't think that's a bad thing either. You live in a country for a reason. You identify with the country and the way of life. And so that goes without saying. How does that inform Christians who are seeing in our country the situation in the White House, the situation on the campaign trail, Supreme Court decisions recently? We've got conventions coming up over the next month, month and a half. And then shortly after that, we've got an election. Can Christians take anything away from what we're seeing from the more conservative side of the aisle over in France?
Yeah, I'm with you to be able to understand French politics and the meaning of every word is I've learned that if you put it in American context, you make a mistake. I think for believers in general, I think we have to understand that we are addressing the world as it is stated in Scripture, the cosmos, which is always in a state of change and flux and moving around and up and down because of the instabilities of mankind and the not just insecurities, but the discontentment with where mankind is. I think for the believer, it always comes back to the sovereignty of God over the nations. Psalm 2 says, why does the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, and they rise up against the Lord and his anointed? But we as Christians believe in a sovereign God who rules in the affairs of men, who numbers the hairs of our head, who knows when a sparrow falls, and we are not shaken when the worlds are shaken. And so I think for us as Christians, that's a very important point of what's goes on. But there are movements. Things go around. People are frustrated with things, and therefore they look for a better answer. And of course, the answer ultimately is in Christ.
That's right.
Right. Let's move back stateside. There are two stories. Both of these are SEC states now. Two stories that matter, one in Louisiana, one in Oklahoma. We'll go to Louisiana first. Louisiana has just passed a bill that requires the display of the Ten Commandments in every classroom, public school classroom in the state. K through 12 and public university. So Louisiana State University, the campus on Baton Rouge, you got to put these in every classroom. Now, immediately, I shared this on my personal Facebook page, and immediately I was screamed at that separation of church and state and Treaty of Tripoli and all these other things. I know, right? I had to go read the Treaty of Tripoli. The simple fact is, and I'll just posit this and we can go from here. The Ten Commandments, while inherently religious, in that they are the cornerstones of God's law, it's first law given, they are also, in a very practical term, the basis and foundational bedrock of our very system of government and our very system of law. I think it might be a good thing to, A, inform children that there is a God in heaven and, by extension, who loves them. I believe it's good that they should know to honor their parents. I believe it's good to know that you shouldn't lie or steal, kill, or covet what your neighbor has. I believe all those things are good things. But there is a resounding pushback, guys, that this is against the First Amendment, which I think a reading of the First Amendment tells you it's not, and that this is a push for Christian nationalism. And I don't know, which one do we want to tackle first? First Amendment or Christian nationalism?
Yeah, I don't know. The concern a lot of people have on this front is that, once again, you know, here go those Christians again, just trying to infuse their beliefs on all of us, impose their beliefs on all of us, and make sure. And the answer is that these are basic, you know, once again, this is the law of God as given to us through Moses a couple thousand years ago. I think it's important for us to live by a set of standards. If there is no standard, if there is no decree, mm-hmm. then what are we to live our lives by? And the answer is anarchy. And
well, yeah, and pluralistic truth. My truth is
which
your
is
truth.
Anarchy.
Yeah,
because equal truth claims self defeating. Mm-hmm. This law of self refutation.
Sure.
So the issue that we have then is, if there is to be a standard, what is that standard based upon? The answer is, for all Judeo-Christian nations on the face of the planet, including America, it's been the law of God, the law of Moses, the
Ten Commandments.
Unbelievable. So it's actually kind of just like American history, if you will, to put the Ten Commandments. So that's the First Amendment. It's American history is given to us by God.
And also the First Amendment doesn't prohibit states from doing certain things.
Right. Yeah.
We can go to that another time.
And then, yeah. So, yeah, it's Dr. Pitta, I'm curious, because there is pushback on our side of the argument. There are those who are saying, I don't know if this is such a good idea. Not that the Ten Commandments of the Bible shouldn't be taught in school, but when it's taught by the wrong people, that's concerning. If the teacher looks up and she is a self-avowed atheist or, you know, just unhinged lunatic, and those usually aren't in schools, but if it were to happen, she points at the Ten Commandments and says, see, that one right there is wrong. And it's a jettison point for launching children into a hatred of the Ten Commandments or the Bible, if in the wrong hands. What would you say to that?
This is a pretty extensive subject, I think, to discuss, which obviously we can't really do today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think some basic thoughts. Number one, democracy, in order for it to work, requires morality. It requires respectful morality. And morality requires faith, because you have to, what's the basis of morals? What is the basis of our morality? And of course, the Ten Commandments given 3,400 years ago to Moses on top of Mount Sinai by God, is that the law is a reflection of the nature of God, what God is like. In ancient times, the gods of mythological background basically violated all the Ten Commandments. They lied, they committed adultery, they stole, they killed each other. So the Ten Commandments are God's laws that reflect his nature and character. They reflect the nature of Jesus, who kept the law. And by that, he was then, he was the righteous one whose righteousness now can be given to us for our salvation. As far as the Ten Commandments for us, then therefore it gives us a knowledge of God, who God is. And then secondly, it shows us our need of salvation because we can't keep the law, we break the law. Right. So obviously there is nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. There is nothing bad about it. It reflects the nature of God. The law is good, perfect, and holy, and right. The question is, within American government, how do we require that? Do we require that to be posted up? It's not a matter of, is it good or is it helpful? It's a matter of is this the right thing to do? When I was in the fifth grade, we had the Ten Commandments up on my wall in my room, in my fifth grade class, and I read them. So it's not like it hasn't been on the walls of American schools. This is not, fact is, it's been on the walls of American school probably longer than it hasn't been.
Right.
So again, it comes back to, is this something that can be legislated? We can't legislate morality. So it's an interesting subject that's worthy of conversation and discussion.
And I will say that not only that, but John Adams noted that our Constitution is for the government of a holy, just people, for a religious people, and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other.
That's right.
Chief Justice John Jay, first Chief Justice, echoed that sentiment. And while the Treaty of Tripoli says that we're not an inerrant Christian nation, it was in that we were not going to just attack a Muslim country just because they're Muslims. That was the purpose of the Treaty of Tripoli. Had to get it out there. And the law is also, according to Paul in the book of Galatians.
Yeah, exactly. You knew where I was going with this. Good. It's a schoolmaster to show us that we need something. So maybe for those of you out there concerned that the Ten Commandments be in the wrong hands, maybe it points young people, even their teachers, to the reality that there's something that we need. Right. We can't keep the law. And so we need someone, a God, a savior who can come in and save us from our sin. And that that happens.
We're going to have to do a deeper dive into this and into the story coming out of Oklahoma, which we will do on another program, but we are running long. So today, by the way, is July 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2024. I forgot to do that off the top.
Ding.
Thank you. Tomorrow is July 4th. It is America's birthday, if you will. July 4th, 1776. We just call it that. Tomorrow is Independence Day. So whether you are at your own home or you might be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, wherever you are, or if you're just in Wisconsin in general, favorite 4th of July traditions for you?
Ooh, come back to me. I'm thinking through it because there's so many good ones.
Dr. Pettit, save me from having to go first. Favorite 4th of July traditions, either now, growing up, whatever it might be. Frozen.
Dr. Pettit.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes. I'll go first.
Okay.
And maybe we'll get a reconnect here in a second. I did notice that he was locked in. 4th of July traditions. Let's see. There he goes. Gone.
He didn't need to be. He's like,
I'm good. 4th of July traditions. We're usually hanging out at the pool. It changes now with a baby, I suppose. Yes, it does. So just enjoying time together, getting things handled and, enjoying the grill and just hanging out, enjoying America's birthday. I'm not really a big firework guy.
I was listening to Mike Rowe and Pete Hegseth yesterday. Pete Hegseth has a new book coming out about the meritocracy inside the United States military and how it's a problem that there is no. So he wrote a book about meritocracy in the education system, how that's a big problem. An even bigger problem is when, United States military is not a meritocracy. All that to say this, one of the things they said, and Rowe said this, and he's not Jewish. I think he's Presbyterian. but said maybe we should have a Seder every 4th of July and tell the stories that, you know, the kids should just get around and listen to the seasoned Americans, those old patriotic stories of old. You know, my mind goes to baseball. Have you ever watched the movie The Sandlot?
Yes.
I still get choked up every time. Ray Charles singing "Oh, Beautiful for Spacious Skies" for Amber Waves of
Grain. It's the only time we can play baseball at night because the fireworks are lighting up the sky.
It's so good. So there's got to be fireworks, maybe some hot dog.
Some baseball.
You go for the higher cuts of meat, like a pork, you know, cheeseburger?
Oh, no, pork butt, man. Give me
barbecue. We're in South Carolina.
Yeah. Potato salad.
Hot dogs, potato salad. But, yeah. Man, whatever you do, share those stories. Share those stories with people so that, as Ronald Reagan said, our freedom is never but one generation from ceasing to exist. It isn't passed through the bloodline. We've got to teach it.
We're back. We're good. Okay. We're all good. We're back connected in Wisconsin. So we were talking. You were really locked in for a minute. Baseball, barbecue, hanging out at the pool. Mitch is going to have a Seder. Dr. Pettit, what is your favorite 4th of July traditions?
Oh, I would definitely say it's a firework, some form of fireworks. I mean,
pyro.
The wonderful thing about South Carolina is that we have legalized fireworks.
Wacky Wayne.
Yes, we do. And they're always near gas stations. You ever notice that?
Well, no, I haven't really noticed that.
It's true. Justin,
it's a great day. Barbecue, obviously. Oh, yeah. But typically I'm in a camp setting like this. I'm speaking at the camp. So tomorrow will be a big, they usually have a big celebration here at the camp.
Good. 4th of July, if I had to rank, Thanksgiving is the best holiday of the year. I don't think there's any question. Easily.
We've had this discussion.
You get a day full of food and football. I mean, Christmas is good. I mean, Christmas has no reason for celebration.
Jesus,
and so does
birthday.
Easter. No, I get that. I'm saying for in the here and now, the things you do.
All right.
Thanksgiving, you just get to eat all day. It's great. 4th of July. When it comes to the summer, you can beat it by very few other things. So we hope that you have a wonderful 4th of July. Please be safe. Please be careful. If you're in the state of South Carolina, heat index could be up around 110 tomorrow. So just make sure you take it easy and drink a lot of water. Make sure you stay hydrated. We want you back on Friday. We'll be talking with Chad Connolly about the ever-changing platform for the Republican Party. So be sure to be on the lookout for that on our Facebook and YouTubes. If you want to learn more about Palmetto Family, palmettofamily.org. You can also click on that invest tab if you want to invest in the work that we're doing. Make sure you subscribe to our email newsletters. That way we're connected with you. If you like the show that we're doing, go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get this thing. Click subscribe. Give us that 5-star rating and review.
If you want Dr. Pettit to be in your church, if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I want Dr. Pettit to be in my church. He has availability coming up in the spring, into the summer of next year. A few dates, maybe in the fall and winter. You can email at palmettofamily.org to find out when you can have Dr. Pettit in your church, your Christian organization, your school. We want you to have him so that you can hear more about what's going on at Palmetto Family and a strong voice for biblical values here in Palmetto State.
Absolutely. This has been another edition of the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina. Yep, this one. For Dr. Pettit, who is in Wisconsin, for Mitch Prosser, who's just right here in South Carolina, and myself, thank you so much for watching and listening, and we will see you guys on Friday. Happy 4th.